Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of you out there in the listening audience, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we'd love to hear from you if you have a question, you have a comment, if you agree, if you don't agree. That's what talk radio is all about. So give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. I don't know how many of you heard our program on Wednesday, pardon me, on Monday, with Betty Hansen. We were talking about stem cell research and really how important stem cell research is. Adult stem cell research has done the most amazing things. It's actually gotten people who were quadriplegics or paraplegics actually able to walk and move their extremities, and some of them are actually able to walk fairly well at the present time, not going to run any races, but certainly these lesions, spinal cord lesions, which under normal circumstances could never be improved, have been improved. They've been improved in mice, but they've been improved in human beings as well, and certain of the neurodegenerative diseases, the multiple sclerosis and the anterior lateral sclerosis, have been improved with the use of adult stem cells, and people with pulmonary disease, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and people with heart disease. It's really the only thing you could do is you give them a new heart, a heart transplant, and yet a selective catheter with adult stem cells has actually reversed the cardiac condition of many people. But of course, this is information is being totally suppressed in the United States today. And what they're really doing is focusing on this debate. Oh, should we use embryonic stem cells? Should we not use embryonic stem cells? Well, you know, if embryonic stem cells were really worthwhile, why isn't private industry, why aren't private groups experimenting with them? And the reason that they don't is because you get rejection with embryonic stem cells. And they know it doesn't work. Certainly it's not going to reverse Parkinson's disease. They've actually injected these embryonic stem cells into people with Parkinson's disease and ended up with teratomas in the brain. Terrible, terrible things have happened with the use of embryonic stem cells. This has not been seen with the adult stem cells. So they focus our attention on embryonic stem cells. We argue back and forth. Should we sacrifice human life? Should we actually culture human beings just so we can be sacrificed, so they can have the embryonic stem cells? And you have to understand, the last thing that the people who control the establishment want is for the American people to know about how effective adult stem cell therapy is. And because if they realize how effective it was, they'd wonder why it is outlawed for all intents and purposes here in the United States. You can't get effective adult stem cell transplants here in the United States. Why? Because, of course, it prolongs life. And if you really understand that the major agenda behind so much of what's going on today is population control, that's the reason for the AIDS epidemic, that's the reason that we've never used standard and effective public health approach to try to stop this terrible, terrible disease. And, of course, this is the reason why we outlawed DDT. It wasn't because DDT didn't work, but it was because it worked so well. It was so effective. It was so safe. It was out. It was just doing away with malaria in third world countries. And there's just too many of those little black and brown people out there. And there are people who hate them and want to eliminate large parts of the world's population. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly this is our open line program, and we welcome your calls. If you have a question or comment, I hear on our Wednesday night, Open Line Wednesday, and certainly we were just talking about the population control agenda, and of course now we're hearing, oh my goodness, you know, probably 100, 150 people have died of this H1N1 influenza. It's almost a pandemic. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you remember just a few months ago, they were telling us that 36,000 people died every single year right here in the United States of influenza. Of course, it wasn't true, but that doesn't matter. That's what they kept telling us. That's why everybody's got to get an influenza injection. 36,000 people die, and now they tell us 100, 150 people have died worldwide, and we got a pandemic. Oh, my goodness, terrible catastrophe. What's wrong with this? Why are we concerned about one type of epidemic and not another? Well, we seem to be having a little trouble. We seem to be losing our guests there. We have Tony supposedly calling from Washington. I don't know what happened to him. Let's see if we can get him back on the line. Right, he could be calling back right now. Let's just see. Hello, who is this?
Tony.
Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Oh, I didn't get the call screener.
No, you got me this time. I suspected it was you calling. Again, for our listeners out there, the number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. So what do you want to talk about tonight, Tony?
Oh, a couple of things. I was really happy to see that Ron Paul has 209 sponsors right now for H.R. 1207 to audit the Fed.
And I think that's a very, very important issue, and I think we should keep the pressure on and keep talking about it, because the Federal Reserve System is part of the cabal that is working behind the scenes to bring about the one world government and is responsible for intentionally, maliciously, and purposely destroying our economy.
Well, one name I've noticed that isn't on the list is, as far as signing on yet, is Sam Farr. And I would think that maybe people would send him some emails and remind him that his comrade-in-arms, Bernie Sanders, the socialist, is trying to get some answers about where all these trillions of so-called dollars are going. So maybe Sam Farr should join, too. Not too many Democrats in California have signed on. Mike Honda, Zoe Lofgren, the majority haven't. So might not be a bad idea. It's getting close. He only needs nine more co-sponsors to get this thing, you know, moving along.
Well, of course, the thing is that basically he should be able to get it moving along. They've obviously... Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Tony calling from Spokane, Washington. Tony's pointing out that Ron Paul has something like 209 sponsors for his legislation, House Resolution 1207, to calling for the auditing and independent auditing of the Fed. You have to understand the Fed's been auditing itself for a long period of time, but nobody's ever allowed to know anything about it, what it's doing with a lot of the money. It's creating out of nothing. The Fed is really, of course, the instrument of the big bankers that they're using to destroy our economy and the economy of the world to bring about the world government. Certainly, a independent audit of the Fed is certainly in order. Anything else you want to say on that subject, Tony?
Well, not on that subject, but what I really wanted to talk about a little bit, I was going to, you have Ms. Albrecht on at 4 o'clock?
Yes, uh-huh.
You weren't taking any calls. But I wanted to know if she has read, and even if you have read, some of the early church fathers as far as what they had to say about these times, as far as the Antichrist and the, I guess you'd call it the end of the age. John the Apostle, his direct disciple was Polycarp. And then Polycarp taught a man by the name of Irenaeus, who was very well known. He wrote a treatise on the Antichrist, and he discipled a man named Hippolytus. And I've been doing a lot of reading of these three individuals as far as what they had to say about the Antichrist, the Mark of the Beast, and such things. And anyone who believes that there's going to be a pre-trib rapture, or what I call the just-in-time rapture, to just whisk away the church so that nobody has to endure any type of suffering or pain or whatsoever. It's just wrong, and is just throwing 19 centuries of church history out the window.
Well, most people are not students of church history. I appreciate it. I think your point is very well taken. Anything else, Tony?
No, but I appreciate what you do, and I know there's a few people out there that are concerned about this issue, about the so-called pre-trib rapture, and I think it's a very dangerous teaching. It's just, you know.
Well, I tell you, with many people, unfortunately, it is almost like a part of church doctrine. It's the very essence of what they believe. I do not argue this back and forth. You know, I'm not really a pan-tribulationist. Some people are pre-tribulation. Some people are mid-tribulation. Some people are post-tribulation. But I'm pan-tribulation. I think it's all going to pan out in the end. God bless. Thanks very much for calling, Tony.
Good night.
Let's go to Herman calling from Carmel. Hi, Herman. How are you doing?
Oh, very well. Thank you for going to the conspiracy conference up in Santa Clara. There was quite a turnout. I was there for a little while, and people really were searching for answers. And, of course, there was a whole variety of speakers and booths there. But I was interested in the panel discussion at the end. You said somebody asked a very interesting question, and I thought that was fascinating. And maybe you could repeat that. I think your audience might be interested in what transpired there this past weekend.
Well, basically, of course, I had been on the panel since I was one of the featured speakers, and of course, I'd made it very clear that I was a Christian. I believe that we were involved in a spiritual battle, and that there were actually Luciferian forces and Luciferian organizations working at the highest levels of our government. And of course, there was several references to that in the panel, but it took about an hour and a half for the all the people who were standing in line to get to their questions. And the last question was certainly directed towards me, and the young man said, and I think it was very sincere, "Well, Dr. Monteith, have you ever considered that you are worshiping the wrong God? I mean, certainly look at the wars and the famines and the destruction and the suffering in this world. I mean, that is what your God has wrought. I mean, perhaps you should be worshiping Lucifer." Now, of course, this is the Gnostic concept. Of course, most people don't ever point out that Lucifer is the god of this world. Certainly our Lord created heaven and earth, but Lucifer is the dominant force in America, which is why we have the wars and those things. But I didn't take that approach. I just thanked the young man so much for his question. I told him I really appreciated his willingness to come forward and talk about the Luciferian movement. And yes, there were many, many people like him who worshipped Lucifer. There were literally millions of people who had adopted this Gnostic heresy that there are two gods. One is the God of the Bible, who's an inferior and wicked God, and then there's the good God as Lucifer. And I thanked him for bringing it out for our audience so that our audience would really understand how prevalent this worship of Lucifer is. And then, of course, I pointed out that there are many people in key positions in government who, of course, really do worship Lucifer. That's what it's all about. That's the very essence of the struggle we're involved in today. And I really felt almost sorry for this young man. He literally ran out of the room at that point, because I think that the last thing he really wanted to do, as with most Luciferians, people who worship Lucifer, is to let people really understand that many people have turned their back on the God of the Bible and have embraced the other God. Anything else, Sermon?
Well, it comes to mind, you know, what Father John Carapi often says. When people despair and say, why on earth does God allow suffering, you know, good people to suffer and so forth, and terrible things to happen? And he says what seems to be a simplistic answer, but he said he allows it to draw out a greater good from it. And, of course, only he knows what the ultimate outcome will be.
Well, between man's plan in time and God's plan in eternity, there is an infinite quality of deference. God allows suffering because many times that's the only way to bring people to Him. Anyway, God bless you. Thanks very much for calling, Herman.
Thank you for being there. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Let's go to Donna, who's calling from Michigan. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Donna, what part of Michigan are you calling from?
Southeast.
Okay, go right ahead. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I'm calling about the press coverage of the automobile industry.
All right, would you mind just speaking just a little louder, please?
Certainly. I'm calling about the press coverage
All
of
right.
the automobile industry recently.
All right, fine.
And I'm noting that there's two factors, among others possibly, that you just don't hear about, or let's say I haven't. And those two are the salaried employees who are not a part of the UAW, and Ford.
First of all, let's talk about the salaried people, the people on salaries who are not part of the United Auto Workers. What about them, and how will they fare in this reorganization of Chrysler and General Motors?
Well, that's my question. They seem to be ignored. I mean, we're giving ownership to UAW and the government, and there's more here involved. And we hear about UAW retirees. What about salaried retirees?
Well, I think that you have to understand that the Democratic Party is closely aligned with the unions, which are really quite corrupt. In fact, they put out a tremendous amount of money to get Barack Obama actually elected. In fact, the United Auto Workers had, I don't know, something like $85 million in assets. You know, and we don't know how much they spent. It would be illegal to spend as much as they did. But they actually now, instead of having any assets, you know, and money in the bank, they're head over heels in debt, and they don't even have enough assets to cover their bills. Basically, United Auto Workers is, for all intents and purposes, is bankrupt, and most of that money went to getting Barack Obama elected and to the presidency, and this is simply payback. And, of course, they're violating all the laws of bankruptcy, all the laws of our country. What is really so tragic about this is the Supreme Court's going right along with that, which means that the rule of law in America, the constitutional system, no longer exists in America. The Supreme Court refused to intervene on a number of issues that were brought up that said, look, we have laws in America. We have bankruptcy laws. These are the laws of the land. And the administration can't move in and simply change all of those laws simply by a judicial, executive edict. This is what happened during the time of the Roosevelt administration, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt wanted to bring about a fascist society, wanted to regulate industry and control labor, and the Supreme Court said, you can't do that, it's unconstitutional. And so Roosevelt said, well, I'm going to do it, I'm going to pack the Supreme Court. And there was such an outcry in America that President Roosevelt had to back down. He was not allowed to pack the court and increase the number of judges. He gradually replaced the judges they retired with Masons, and it was the Masonic judges that FDR and Truman put on the Supreme Court that down the line took God and prayer out of our schools. But today, when Barack Obama says, well, I'm going to take over control of industry, why the Supreme Court refuses to intervene. In other words, the Supreme Court is no longer upholding the Constitution. That's the frightening thing. And I really can't tell you much about the salaried employees because nobody's talking about them.
Oh, and when we don't have a free press that reports these things, then we don't have the outcry.
You're absolutely right. We do not have a free press. Anything else, Donna?
Well, I'm just thinking about the engineers, the designers, the technical people.
Sure.
There's tons of those people.
Right. Well, of course.
Hundreds of thousands. My other question is about Ford, and I'm wondering why they are hardly even mentioned. Does it have to do with Ford being involved with the occult?
No, that was Henry Ford, certainly. But I think that the Ford Motor Company is somehow getting enough money so that it's not having to flirt with bankruptcy at the present time. However, I do not see how Ford is going to be able to continue operating, you know, and losing money every year indefinitely. Hang on there. We'll be back, but right now our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you'd like to give us a call, this is the time to do it. Well, Donna, you asked about the Ford Motor Company. The Ford Motor Company so far has not gone to the government for funds, and is not talking about going into bankruptcy, and whether there'll be a...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Was asking why did they want to kill General Patton, and I explained that General Patton had wanted to win the Second World War, or wanted to get to Berlin first, wanted to take Eastern Europe, did not want the communists to occupy Berlin or Eastern Europe, and he was all set to do that, except that General Eisenhower, under the orders of General George Catlett Marshall, and these people were internationalists who had a different world perspective, who were going right along with the one world order at that time. Both of them, at least General Eisenhower, had ordered that all gasoline was to be cut off from general patent, so he couldn't take his tanks and streak across Europe and simply win the war. They didn't want to win the war. They wanted to prolong it. The longer it went, the more horrible it would be, and, of course, the more suffering and carnage it would be. And, of course, the Second World War was to be used to bring about the one world government. It was used to be bring about the United Nations. This is why we fought the First World War, was to bring in the League of Nations. When that didn't come in, then we had to have a Second World War, and that's why I feel we're going to have a Third World War, finally to consolidate the New World Order. But the other reason that they had to get rid of Patton was because he felt that communism was the enemy. We should have fought communism at that time when we were fully mobilized. And they feared that Patton was going to resign his commission, come home. He was a very popular general. He was a very charismatic individual. He was fearless, and he was going to tell the American people how our leaders had betrayed our fighting men and kept him from winning the war, how communism was the enemy. And, of course, at that time, the people within the State Department from the Council on Foreign Relations were doing everything they could to help the Russians. We actually paid for their occupation of Eastern Europe after they had literally raped every woman in Eastern Europe. And I talked to some of the women who survived that. We never heard about that here in America. But they gave the soldiers a week to just rape anyone they wanted to and pillage as much as they wanted to as a reward for ending the war. And they never told the American people. So these are the things that have really gone on in the past. But the reason that they killed Patton was that. Now, of course, what happened was, there was a gentleman, I don't have his name, but it's in certainly our 4 tape set on the Deadly Assassins or the book Target Patton, which we do carry. And this gentleman, he was a professional assassin that carried out special operations for the CIA. And, I guess at that time it was the OSS, and he was told to kill Patton. When you get an order like that, you do it. And he staged the accident that led to the automobile accident where General Patton broke his neck. But, of course, Patton was universally hated by the Russians. And according to him, when Patton was in the hospital there, and he was even beginning to recover and looked like he might actually get back his health, whether he ever would have recovered from the quadriplegia, I don't know. But that was, according to him, why the Russians then had actually killed Patton in the hospital. But certainly they tried to kill him. Now, maybe the man actually did kill him, but he wouldn't ever come forward and admit it. But it's a story I've heard before, but this is the first time I've ever seen it in book form. The gentleman who wrote the book claims he has the diary. This man, he was 85 years old. He told him the whole story. The author of the book was actually able to check out much of the story, and certainly everything he had been told was true. It's a fascinating book, Target Patton. We recommend it for you, Greg.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
God bless. And thank you so much. Right now, let's go to Kurt, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to hear our interviews with the author of Target Patton, it's in the 4 CD set, Deadly Assassins. And there, of course, we have interviews with at least 2 professional assassins, men that have been employed by our government to kill. One of them was asked to kill a presidential contender. The other was asked to kill Prince Sihanouk of Cambodia. And both of them will tell you their stories. Fascinating information that they don't want the American people to know. Kurt, how are you doing tonight?
Fine, fine. Got a question for you as soon as we get past the music there.
All right, fine. Well, of course, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And this is Open Line Wednesday. So if you have a question or comment, why we'd love to hear from you. Kurt, go ahead. What was the question?
Well, you know, Eisenhower, I believe, was a Mason. And his progress across Europe was glacial at best. I assume that Mark Clark was a Mason. His walk in the sun in Italy was almost backwards instead of slow motion. But Patton, I don't think, was a Mason.
And I'm not sure that I really don't know anything about the Masonry of either one of the others, but we'll be back in just a moment.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Well, Kurt, you were asking certainly about the background of the Second World War, and you commented that that certainly General Eisenhower's advance was very, very slow, and that was because, of course, they did not want to end the war. They wanted to prolong it as long as they could. In a similar manner, they wanted to prolong the war with Japan. Japan had been trying for 6 months to surrender prior to the dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and we would not let them. But as far as General Mark Clark was concerned and the battle in Italy, I wouldn't necessarily fault Mark Clark for that. I mean, there was a lot of resistance. The problem was we never should have invaded Italy. When you are going to battle, going into war, you want to win the war, and you want to win it as quickly as you can with as little loss of life. That's what you would do logically. With both the First World War and the Second World War, unfortunately we had a man in position of power who wanted to prolong the war because he was a Druid and a Mason, and he wanted as much blood and carnage and horror as he could, and his name was Winston Churchill, and certainly he was responsible for the invasion at Gallipoli during the First World War when 160,000 British soldiers and 160,000 Turkish soldiers fell in a totally senseless and useless carnage. That was at Winston Churchill's insistence over the objection of all the military officials who said, this is stupid. There's no advantage to invading Gallipoli. Well,
actually, I wanted to talk about World War II, but
let me just go ahead and cover World War II. It was Winston Churchill who actually interfered with the military plan for the course of the Second World War. He insisted on invading North Africa and then invading Italy. And Italy was a narrow peninsula. There was no way you could make a breakout. You would get behind the enemy. They would not, of course, it was simply fighting from city to city. And we lost more people at the invasion of Italy than General MacArthur lost in all of his invasions of the South Pacific. That was just total foolishness. I wouldn't fault Mark Clark for what happened there. There was just no way he could make a breakout. But they wanted to prolong the war, and I think it's very astute of you to observe that we did not do anything that was logical. I personally talked to General Albert Wedemeyer, spent a couple of weeks with him. He was in charge of planning for the U.S. military. He told me we were ready to invade in 1943. And Winston Churchill would not allow that to happen. Winston Churchill undercut him. In fact, he got General Wedemeyer transferred to India so that there'd be nobody to the courage to stand up against him. I'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is Open Line Wednesday, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We've got Kurt calling from Santa Cruz asking about why we didn't really try to win the Second World War more rapidly. But go ahead, Kurt.
Yeah, well, the big thing is, was Patton one of the players, but I do want to backtrack on a couple things. I told you I would look up, and I've just been too busy to get the information to you because I'd read it before. But actually, it was Kitchener who had called for the invasion of Gallipoli, and it was one of Churchill's admirals that, once he lost one outdated battleship, he panicked and backed out of the straits. So it wasn't really Churchill on Gallipoli. It's convenient to blame him, and he was blamed, but actually it wasn't his fault. He wasn't in that. He was furious when Mark Clark, landed at Anzio and didn't do anything about it. It was a beached whale, according to Churchill.
Winston Churchill has always had a good press that's rewritten history. Winston Churchill, back in about 1920, wrote an article that appeared in one of the major newspapers in London, condemning the Zionists, saying they were responsible for the Russian Revolution.
Yeah, right.
And Winston Churchill has always had a good press. How could he come out with this violently anti-Semitic article and always have a good press? Because there was an invisible force behind Winston Churchill. He, as I said, was a Druid, a Mason. He was part of the Brotherhood of Darkness, and they've rewritten history to make him look good. But go ahead.
The one on Israel, he did both sides of that, didn't he? But the thing is, at Anzio, we had outflanked the Germans, and we just didn't prosecute that. I mean, we got the advantage. The man followed the orders. He got the advantage he was supposed to get and then didn't follow orders and go up the peninsula. So there's something very, very strange about the Italian campaign, and one assumes that Mark Clark was a player and was part of the cabal or at least under their orders. But
well, he was under their orders. I don't think he was a bad man. I've talked to him before he passed away. I've read his book. But anyway, go ahead, Kurt.
Okay, it just smells funny when you read his history, you know. But Patton doesn't appear. He believed in reincarnation. He probably was a Christian with that, you know, very un-Christian belief. But he doesn't appear to have been a Mason. I've never found anything to indicate he was, which would mean he was probably the only one that wasn't.
I can't comment on it. I really don't know anything about that. But I do know that he, at least he believed in the Bible. And, of course, one of the great stories that General Wedemeyer told me was the night that they were going to invade Sicily. And General Wedemeyer was on the same ship with Patton. And he talked about, because it was early morning, everything was blacked out. There were no lights allowed on the ship. And he was going, of course, with the first wave going ashore to invade Sicily. And he goes up the cabin, the passageway to go on deck. He's, of course, he's got his pack on, his weapon. And of course, he's a two- or three-star general at this time. He goes past Patton's doorway, and the doorway's open. And there in the room is Patton, and he's reading the Bible with a flashlight, and he's there in his underwear, and of course, you know, General Wedemeyer said, George, I just wanted to say goodbye to you, and he said Patton came out in the hallway, everything's blacked out, all they have is a flashlight, and Patton put his arm around him and said, you know, you may be killed today, Al, but I want you to know I love you. And that is my vision of Patton standing there in the, you know, with the Bible in one hand and the flashlight in the other. Anyway, anything else you want to say, Kurt?
No, I just think that that would be great if one of the listeners could do some research and find out which of the major general, you know, the important generals were Masons and which ones weren't. Because the only one that I think wasn't is Patton. I think, you know, MacArthur was a Mason. His father was a Mason.
Sure.
You know, the Philippine rebellion, that rebellion against Spain was by the Katipunan Society. It was a Masonic rebellion. And yet the people that took over from America were almost all Masons.
Sure. Well, of
course, there's a story there.
I'm sure there is, and maybe you can find it for us. Anyway, God bless, Kurt.
Yep,
thanks very
now.
Much. And let's go to Kent, who's calling from West Virginia, who's been hanging on for a long time. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Kent. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. You mentioned earlier about you felt that there was going to be a World War III, and I live out here where there's a lot of hunters, and they've been talking for good while about the unavailability of ammunition and gunpowder and everything, and of course their attitude is, well, they're trying to take our guns. But I had a second thought, and I was thinking maybe they're stockpiling gunpowder and ammunition in anticipation of having this big war. What do you think?
Well, I think there's probably truth in both of them. I'm sure they would like to take our weapons, but I will tell you that apparently, you know, when the gun dealers get ammunition in, they'll get a good supply and it'll be gone later that day, and they just can't keep it in because so many people are trying to get weapons because they fear the government is going to try to take their weapons away, and that's absolutely true. They want to disarm the public because they intend to have a dictatorship. And certainly, here, Dianne Feinstein, Senator Feinstein, is one of the leaders of this movement. She doesn't want people to have weapons, although she had a gun permit, and she carried a gun when she was the mayor of San Francisco. She gives, and so many of these people give hypocrisy a bad name. But I think that you're absolutely right that they are preparing. They know there's going to be another war. But I fear this will probably be maybe a nuclear war much more than the war of the battlefields as we've had in the past. And if you read the scriptures and you believe in the Bible, why they talk about the Ezekiel war, and of course they talk about the people who live in the islands to the west, and I've always wondered if that might be America. I don't know, but it talks about how the flesh would melt off of their faces. Now, look back, you know, Ezekiel was writing right 400 or 500 years before Christ, 600 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem. How could you actually have something cause the flesh to melt off the faces of people at that time? They wouldn't have any concept of a nuclear weapon. But certainly there's much in the scriptures that suggests that there's going to be a great war where fire is going to come down from the heavens. And is this nuclear warfare? It's all we can do is try to interpret as best we can in light of what they would have known, you know, thousands of years ago. But I think that, that we are going to be looking at a nuclear war. And, of course, one reason I believe this is because if you've read my January 2008 newsletter, it's called State Secrets, but it's really Sybil Edmonds' story. That's Sybil Edmonds. She worked for the FBI, and she found out that the State Department was allowing the massive transfer of nuclear technology to Pakistan, and then they were covering this up, and she tried to get the story out and appeal to the federal court so she could tell the story, and they had a state secrets ban on her, told her they'd put her in prison forever if she told the truth, and then, of course, she appealed it to the federal appeals court, then to the Supreme Court itself, and they refused to let her tell the American people that instead of trying to prevent the spread of nuclear weapons, we were actually facilitating it. The only thing I can anticipate is that Pakistan has shared the technology with both North Korea and Iran and possibly with some of the other Muslim nations in preparation for the coming nuclear war, because many of the Muslim nations don't want to go along with this one world government, and they're going to have to destroy every nation that won't go along with the one world government, and I believe that war that's prophesied in Revelation 6-8 is coming and coming very soon.
We were talking about the Masons, and maybe last year I sometimes watched that quiz program Jeopardy, and they had a question. Apparently, I never knew this, but back in the like 1840s or 1830s or something, the question was the first major third party in the United States, and it was called the Anti-Mason Party. Did you ever hear about that?
Yes, and actually, let's see, who ran? I've forgotten who ran. But that was, I believe that was in the election in 1824. And anyway, of course, John Quincy Adams won that, but of course the Anti-Mason Party was there, and they funneled votes away from Andrew Jackson, who was running for the presidency. Andrew Jackson became president in 1828. So, but yes, there was an Anti-Mason Party, and the reason it came about was because the Masons had actually killed somebody who was going to expose their secrets, and became very well known that they were actually killed this man, and there was a tremendous movement against Masonry at that time, and that was the basis of the Anti-Masonic Party, and I believe it was 1824. Maybe somebody could call in and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was the election, and they split off enough votes so that John Quincy Adams got the presidency that year.
Hopefully we'll have another Anti-Mason Party one of these days.
Well, what we need to do is understand, though, that it is not simply the Masons. Yes, the Masons, there are 2 million of them there, and they are deeply involved in the occult, even though the average Mason has no idea what Masonry is about, because he's never read Morals and Dogma, or read Manly P. Hall, the other leading Masons, who will tell you that this is Luciferian. But we have the Skull and Bones of the Bohemian Grove, and the Trilateral Commission, and Bilderbergers, and Club of Rome, and the Council on Foreign Relations, can all be traced back directly or indirectly to this occult movement to bring about a world government. So there's a myriad of organizations of which Masonry is a very important one.
I lived in Europe for a while, and I knew about the Masons, but I would hear on the BBC, and they would talk on the mainstream media about the Masons and how much control they had, and all the type judges and police were involved in it.
Well, you never hear that in the United States.
That's what amazed me, except for alternative voices like yourself,
right.
Whereas in England it was talked about quite openly.
Right.
So I think they have a lot more freedom than we do.
Well, at least they didn't have the total control over the media that we have here.
No.
Anything else, Kent?
No, thanks, Dr.
God bless, and thanks so very much for calling in. Let's go to Steve calling from Wisconsin. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But there is a brotherhood of darkness out there, and certainly it involves the Masonic movement. I never knew a Mason I didn't like, but unfortunately they are part of a Luciferian organization that worships a different God, and the great architect of the universe is the God of all men in all nations, but it's not the God of the Bible. And if you read Manly P. Hall is important, but but Albert Pike, and he will tell you, of course, that the of Masonry is an outgrowth of Gnosticism and the religion of the Templars and the Rosicrucians and the Illuminati, and he's absolutely right. But it was all this Luciferian religion, tapping into this supernatural power that is there, and it is there for the asking. But, of course, it will cost you your eternal soul. Well, let's go to Steve. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Real fine, Dr. Stan.
Go ahead. Speak up. Don't be bashful.
Oh, I'm not bashful. I just didn't know that I was speaking too low.
No, you are speaking too low. Please speak a little louder, please.
Yes. We know that Obama has a passport, but yet he refuses to present it. Now, someone who has a passport but yet refuses to present it, that tells me that he has something to hide. What do you make out of this whole passport controversy?
I really don't know anything about the passport controversy. I know that he has spent well over $1 million fighting efforts by people who've tried to demand that he present a legitimate birth certificate that he was born in the United States.
I said passport. I meant birth certificate.
Okay, fine. So I don't know, but I believe he probably was born in Kenya. So his grandmother said he was. His half-brother said he was. Incidentally, I believe his grandmother subsequently died. But certainly, we have people in the Supreme Court, and this case has actually gone to the Supreme Court, a number of them, who refuse to enforce the Constitution, which requires that you be a natural-born American citizen. You know, you have to be born in this country. And I don't believe that Barack Obama was born in this country, but there is a powerful spiritual force behind Barack Obama. And that's what everybody has really missed, and we cover that in our talk on the financial Armageddon, and we actually quote from the Luciferians about what this force is behind Barack Obama, things you're never going to hear elsewhere. So go right ahead.
Well, someone who has a birth certificate and refuses to present it to end this controversy one way or another, that tells me that that person has something to hide.
You're absolutely right.
And I believe that he is a foreign occupier in the White House. I believe that he's been groomed for this job, and he's somewhat of a Manchurian candidate.
Well, I think he's been groomed for the job. He was created by the people of great wealth, by the financiers. I mean, where do you think the $600 to $700 million came from that was used to propel him into the presidency? Why was his picture on the front page of Time magazine five or six times last year, and on Newsweek magazine repeatedly, and on the front page of U.S. News and World Report? And why is he over and over and over again featured on 60 Minutes? You never saw that, you know, with other presidents, you know, maybe once or twice they get the picture on the front cover, but Barack Obama is being built up to be the leader for this time of transition. And I think these are going to be terrible times for America. And what is most shocking is the fact that the Supreme Court, the members of the Supreme Court, have refused to uphold our Constitution. And I think that bodes very poorly for the survival of freedom as we know it.
I have one last question I want to ask you, and then I'll hang up and listen to your answer on the radio. A question that I've really never heard discussed on the radio, and that is, outside of this country, in your opinion, how many other nations has stealth technology, and do you happen to know what nations outside of our own have stealth technology? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
By stealth technology, what do you mean? You're talking about, of course, airplanes? Are you talking about ships? What?
I'm talking to all of it.
Well, we basically we have more technology than anybody else in the world. We are the leader of all of these various forms of technology and monitoring, and of course the internet is totally controlled by the NSA, the National Security Agency, or as some people say, no such agency, NSA, no such agency. I mean, basically we spend have spent hundreds of billions of dollars developing technology. We're told it so we can counter the wicked terrorists or the wicked communists, but it was always devised to control and monitor the American people. That's what's frightening.
You believe that the Russians have stealth fighters and stealth bombers?
No, I don't think they have anything like we have. I think that we are in a class by ourselves, and if they have them, they got the technology from us.
Okay, Okay, thank you.
God bless. Okay, and let's go to Mike calling from... hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, Stan. Since you had so many callers about World War II, I wanted to contribute this one. It's an admission by the U.S. government that information regarding the attack on Pearl Harbor was withheld from the commanders there, and I'll wait till after the music.
All right. Fine. No, go ahead. Just say what you can.
Well, yeah, it's in the National Defense Authorization Act of 2001. Page 119, statement. Well, the issue is that the appropriations were wanted for the restoration of Kimmel and Short to their rank prior to the attack. And I'd like to wait till after the music so the listeners can hear.
All right, fine. We'll be back here in just a moment. And, of course, Mike's talking about the betrayal of the young men there at Pearl Harbor. They left them to die, but they need an excuse to get us into World War II to bring about the United Nations and the One World Government. Okay, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, again, it's in the National Defense Authorization Act of 2001. And the purpose of this excerpt is to restore Lieutenant General Short and Admiral Kimmel, the commander.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh. Healthy. Easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com, and there's a little donate button there if you'd like to press on it and see what happens. And then, of course, I do want to mention, if you'd like to understand what is really going on financially, why, of course, we have an excellent talk. It's called Financial Armageddon, and it's a PowerPoint presentation I've given, which will explain to you who Barack Obama really is. Who is Barack Obama? Is there an invisible force behind him? Well, I think you'll find financial Armageddon very significant, and why, of course, the syllabus goes with that is very significant and very important. You get the two of them together at a special rate. And then, of course, we have our talk, Brotherhood of Darkness. We have our talk on the forbidden secret, because you cannot understand what's going on today unless you understand the spiritual forces at work and the spiritual battles that have been fought over this last 5,000 years. What is happening today is not new, but we are living in the culmination of history. So, once again, Brotherhood of Darkness, Forbidden Secret, Financial Armageddon DVD. Now, we do have a Financial Armageddon, a 4-CD set, interviews with some of our wisest guests, and we recommend all of those. We have a whole flock of books on the finances, The Coming Battle, written in 1899, Money Creators, written in 1935, The Creature from Jekyll Island by Ed Griffin, written probably eight years ago, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton, and, of course, the book Fiat Money, Inflation in France, are all available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. We have my talk given about 3 or 4 years ago called Financial Tsunami. It comes with a syllabus. We explained everything that was going on at that time and what was going to happen, and, of course, it's all come to pass. That's the Financial Tsunami. And then, of course, we do hope many of you want to get a 4-CD set we referred to called Deadly Assassins. It goes into the background of the murder of certainly of General Patton. And, of course, you'll hear several of the assassins we've actually interviewed. And they're not going to talk about the murders they did commit. They'll talk about the murders they didn't commit, but there's no statute of limitation on murder. But the 4-CD set on Deadly Assassins is vitally important. We have a 4-CD set on how they murdered Martin Luther King and about the trial that was held and totally blocked out by the controlled media. We have a 4-CD set on Bobby Kennedy, the book Who Killed Bobby, and the DVD RFK Must Die. And then, of course, we have a 4-CD set on the Liberty, USS Liberty. We have one DVD, Dead in the Water, and then we have a CD on that subject. Pardon me, we have a video on that subject, The Loss of Liberty. It's the story of how they set a ship. I think there were about 280 American servicemen on that ship, and they were sent to be killed. They were actually all to die when, of course, the Israelis attacked the Liberty during the 67 war off the coast of the Sinai. But suddenly the Israeli government was working in close concert with Washington, D.C., that wanted to kill the men and use that as a justification to get into a war with Egypt. It's a fascinating story. But in a similar manner, that's why they had to bring down the Twin Towers in Building 7 as a justification for getting us into the war with Iraq and the war with Afghanistan. If you've never seen our talk on Iraq, the Untold Story, and the syllabus, it gives you all the documentation. Iraq, the Untold Story, if we go there into certainly various plans that they've had to do similar things to kill large numbers of Americans to justify getting into a war. So our number, 1-800-544-8927. Again, that's Iraq, the Untold Story, the talk, and the syllabus. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Well, the guest this evening is Barry Shamish. Barry's an Israeli patriot who's written for some 30 years about corruption in Israel. He lived there, served in the military. But Barry has come back to the United States because of threats against his life. And, of course, Israel's loss is our gain because we can have him on a regular basis here. We try to have him on every week to bring us another story from the multitude of stories that he's written about many of the things that have happened in Israel. And, of course, Israel is pivotal to everything going on in the world today. I mean, it is the most miraculous thing that there really is, a state of Israel. How it was reconstituted after 2,000 years of people, the Jewish people being dispossessed, and now they have a home and there, and so we can argue back and forth about the Palestinians and the injustice that's there, but I believe Israel's there because God wants Israel there, and he has a purpose for it. And of course, Barry has all sorts of fascinating stories about corruption, about the fact that there are people working within the Israeli government who want to, of course, give the Vatican control of a significant part of the city of Jerusalem, and certainly the areas adjacent to that, and we can talk of that some other evening, but I think Barry's got a special story for us this evening, don't you, Barry?
Well, it turned out that I was interviewed by a Utah radio hostess, Barbara Jean, and naturally the murder of her congressman, Wayne Owens, was I was on the show 2 hours and was an hour of it. So I practiced up a very complicated story, and I actually did a good job chopping away the facts, keeping it down to something barely understandable. So I thought I'd try that out and you.
All right, fine. Well, Barry, could you explain to our listeners who Congressman Wayne Owens is? You know, most usually when a congressman is murdered, why, we hear a lot about it. And until I heard you talking about Congressman Wayne Owens, I'd never heard of him. Who was he, and when was he murdered?
Well, he was the head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in the 80s. He was not an unknown congressman. He was found dead on a beach opposite the Tel Aviv Hilton on December 18, 2002. He went for a walk, according to the press reports, on his favorite, one of his favorite beautiful walks that are available along the Mediterranean coast opposite the Tel Aviv Hilton. And just like everybody else who goes on a boardwalk, died of a heart attack. By the way, this is a very popular place to walk, even in December, and you don't just die of a heart attack on a popular boardwalk. But people, well, Utah people didn't even ask the question, do you know anyone who died of a heart attack while walking on a boardwalk? And well, of course, nobody listening to this show ever heard of such a thing, but you can get away with killing people. It's just one of those things that he went walking, had a heart attack, and he was dead. Except that's not what happened.
All right, fine. Well, that's what we really want to get to, and I think it's so difficult for the average person to really believe that there are professional assassins. There are people who are employed by one or another agency or a group go around killing people, and we hear these stories. Remember the story of Sonny Bono, a very strange death. And we, of course, have stories from many other people. Martin Luther King, of course, he was shot, but, you know, the man who, the family didn't even believe the government story that James Earl Ray did it, any more than most people believe Lee Harvey Oswald really shot the President of the United States. People are killed today. We'll go right ahead with the story, Barry.
Well, they're killed in Israel, I'll tell you that. If you don't play ball with this peace process, you're putting your life in danger. And if we have time at the end, I'll talk about the latest murders in Judea and Samaria, but let's not lose focus. I assume you got my book today.
I did, and thank you so very much. That's The Compromised Land.
How does it look?
Well, it looks beautiful. I haven't had a chance to look at it, other than the fact it's got a nice-looking cover on it.
Okay, it's just as good inside. We'll talk about that later. Let's start on a very complicated journey to the murder of an American congressman in Tel Aviv. Now, again, this is something you don't have to have heard about, but it was an enormous scandal in Israel called the Ginesar scandal. Yossi Ginesar was the deputy head of the Secret Service for many years. He was forced out of office for perjury. He had had enough information to become appointed the personal representative by Rabin to Yasser Arafat, also by Barak, also by Sharon. I mean, this guy had something on everybody. Now, Yossi Ginesar had an associate named Ozrat Lev. Ozrat Lev just, when was it? It was also in 2002, just before Wayne Owens arrived in Israel. Ozrat Lev told the most shocking story imaginable. He said that he opened up a secret bank account for Yasser Arafat's stolen money. Ozrat Lev squealed to the second biggest newspaper in Israel, Ma'ariv, that Yossi Ginesar asked him to set up a secret bank account in Switzerland so that Yasser Arafat could hide over $300 million that he had stolen from his people. Now, the money came in from foreign investment aid. There was no investment. It came in from Israeli taxes, but it was supposed to go to the Palestinian people.
Hold that thought, Barry. We'll be right back in a moment.
Right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Barry Samish. He's talking about the strange death of Congressman Wayne Owens, who's a very prominent congressman who died in the early 2000s here. But basically, the background has to do with a man named Ginesar, and I may not be pronouncing it quite correctly, but he was had apparently opened up, or had one of his friends or somebody open up a secret bank account for Yasser Arafat. Now, Yasser Arafat received a lot of money from Israelis supposed to go to the Palestinian people. Yasser Arafat was, of course, a corrupt politician like all of the people we support, and we were supporting Yasser Arafat, but supposedly this gentleman came forward and said he had actually opened up a secret bank account for Yasser Arafat where he could squirrel away the money he had stolen from the impoverished Palestinian people. So pick up the story there, but he'd opened the bank account at the behest of a Mr. Ginesar. So go ahead.
Yeah, Yossi Ginesar, this we'll see why this exposed Wayne Owens. Well, I may as well give the personages of the stolen money. They were Yasser Arafat and his financial associate, Muhammad Rashid. Keep that in mind. It was Yossi Ginesar and his financial associate, Ozrat Lev. That's the Palestinians, that's the Israelis, and there are the crooks that took the stolen money of the PLO and put it into a secret account. Now, Ozrat Lev had a terrible attack of conscience. He had this amazing epiphany that, well, you know, this money could be used for terrorism, and I could be funding terrorism. could is the wrong word. He did. He was hiding terror money, and he just broke one day, went to Marif, and the story was, you know, the biggest financial scandal in Israeli history, but it was over time, like everything else, buried. Now, here is where we get to Owens. Now, you don't just hide money. Even the Swiss have rules, and they don't want stolen money. Certainly, any legitimate bank can't bury stolen money, and $300 million is a pretty big bank account. So what Lev had to do is he had to hide the source of the money. So he opened up a whole bunch of straw companies. Now, some of these companies were legitimate companies, Israeli monopolies, that they opened PLO branches for. But most of the companies didn't exist at all. They only existed on paper. And supposedly this bank account was funded by corporations worldwide that didn't exist. That's what it comes down to. Now, the CEO of these phony companies was Dr. Stephen P. Cohen, which you may know from CNN and the New York Times. He's supposedly an expert on peace. He's a crook. That's what he is. He was investigated by Israel police for the stolen money. The fact of the matter is that he was Wayne Owens, business developer, since 1990. The Guinness scandal tied Wayne Owens into hiding money for Arafat and into numerous crimes.
No, wait a minute. Was Wayne Owens was involved with the cover up of the money that was, and how was he involved with this, Mr. Cohen, Dr. Cohen?
Well, I was going to get there. That was my next.
Okay, fine. You go ahead.
That was coming up now. Look, Wayne Owens, your listeners probably don't know this, but in Washington D.C., Wayne Owens had his very own peace center. It was called the Center for Middle East Peace and Economic Development. Nice. I'm just going to call it the Owens Peace Center from here on in. That's a mouthful. What happened was, now, we have to sort out very few personalities. I got rid of most of them. In 1989, Owens was head of the House Foreign Relations Committee, and he met someone named Daniel Abraham. By the way, all these people I mentioned, Cohen, Abraham, Owens, they're all from the Council on Foreign Relations. The works, every one of them, they're all from the CFR. And that's a mystery we'll someday maybe understand, but that's a fact. Daniel Abraham was also the founder of Wayne Owens Peace Center. In 1989, Wayne Owens met Daniel Abraham, and Abraham somehow convinced him to go to Tunis and meet with Yasser Arafat, which was against the law. In 1989, the PLO was a terrorist organization in America and should have stayed as such. He broke the law. There was lots of controversy, but nonetheless, why would he do this? He returns to America and sets up his very own Middle East Peace Center, co-founded and co-chaired by Daniel Abraham. Now, 3 years later, Shimon Peres sets up the Shimon Peres Center for Peace in Tel Aviv. And Daniel Abraham is not only a founder of Wayne Owens Peace Center, he becomes the founder of Shimon Peres' Peace Center. Well, keep this in mind. Yossi Gidesar was on the board of the Shimon Peres Peace Center. Stephen Cohen was on the board of both the Wayne Owens and the Shimon Peres Peace Centers. Out of these two centers, an enormous mafia grew that took the largesse of the foreign governments and their aid and put them into peace projects. Lots of them, lots and lots of peace projects, but they were crooked. And I'm not going to dive into the crookedness surrounding Wayne Owens. We will get to just one project in time.
Well, now, first of all, was Wayne Owens a Mormon? Because coming
yes.
from Utah, he was a Mormon, okay. So, but then why was he setting up an Israeli peace center? I assume this
not
is...
Not Israeli, Middle East.
All right. Okay, fine. Go ahead.
He was trying to bring peace to the Middle East. Now, look... Well, let's take the examples to understand the incredible, un-Mormon-like indulgence of Wayne Owens. The fact is, when Wayne Owens flew into Tel Aviv, it was on Daniel Abraham's private jet. And I assumed Daniel Abraham was on the jet. And I assumed Daniel Abraham... played a role in the murder, but that's without proof right now. Let's not jump ahead too much. What we have is a Wayne Owens flying to Israel, and he must have been terrified, because any journalist worth his salt would immediately connect Gidesar with Wayne Owens through the CEO of the straw companies that were used to hide Yasser Arafat's money, Stephen Cohen, who was the head of business development for the Wayne Owens Peace Center. Now, this isn't complicated journalism. You don't have to be a genius to figure out that somehow Owens, through Cohen, must have been involved in this, well, for now we'll just call it an illegal bank account, but you can be sure it was a lot more than that. And again, when you talk about where the money came, a lot of it came through incredibly illegal deals made by these peace centers. Arafat was raking off, everyone was raking off money from peace. That's what kept the Oslo peace going, that every politician in Israel was raking off from this peace mafia. I'm going to give an example. You ready for an example?
Right, I'm ready for an example. Go ahead.
The Jericho Casino. Does this ring a bell to you?
Sure. We've been to Jericho many times, but there wasn't any casino there. I understand, though, that there's been one put in, and there's a lot of money being made, and a lot of money changing hands. In fact, a lot of that was actually a laundered money, wasn't it?
It was all laundered. It hasn't been in existence for 7 years. There's no more Jericho Casino. It's gone. This was one of the major achievements of peace, was a casino where Palestinians would be employed in the gambling industry. I mean, it's so stupid. The last thing the PLO would have approved of was a casino. Oh, I hear music.
You hear music, and we're going to be back in just a moment with Barry Samus. But basically, of course, you've got all this money coming in. You've got to get it laundered. And what better way to do it than through the casino? So apparently they
yes.
organized the casino, which was used to launder money. And, well, I'll let Barry Samus tell you the rest of the story. You're right ahead, Barry.
Yes, you're right. It was used to launder. The figures I had were that 800...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Laundered money that was being put through the casino in Jericho. And of course, just as the Las Vegas, Nevada is used for laundering money for the mafia, at least it was in years in the past. I don't know if it still is, but it certainly was used in the past. So the casino in Jericho is being used to launder money. Go right ahead.
Well, it was one example of how high up this peace racket was going. It was going to the presidency of the United States, the prime minister's office of Israel, the president's office of the PLO. They were all stealing blind. And again, I remind you, the Ginasar scandal was on the verge of exposing all of them, not just Owens, but to remind you, so I repeat myself when I do these very complicated stories. Stephen Cohen was the chief of business development for the Wayne Owens Peace Center in Washington. Now, just to remind you who Cohen was a paid advisor, or as he called it, an unpaid advisor for the State Department. He was America's leading voice for a fiasco called the Geneva Initiative, supposedly started by Yossi Beilin, who was kicked back enormous amounts of money from Europe. All of this is bunko. It's completely corrupting the leadership of countries every which way, and it would all collapse if Wayne Owens did anything to disrupt the natural flow of mafia theft. Now,
why would Wayne Owens want to disrupt this? Was he getting any money? Was he getting a part of the take?
He was getting a huge amount of the money. A huge amount. He was the CEO of the Peace Center that was getting money from governments worldwide. We'll get into that very shortly. But look, when Wayne Owens was exposed. Now, it used to be, I mean, people have forgotten this. There used to be legitimate investigative journalism. There really isn't anymore. People who were born even 30 years ago don't remember that journalists at one point dug at depths that just don't exist anymore. Any journalist would have put together Wayne Owens and the Guido South scandal in an hour of searching. That's what it took me. It took me an hour to see all this. But I guess he was from the old school, and he felt that he was now exposed. Now, Wayne Owens was on a plane to Israel. He had spent the day, December 17th, in Cairo. And he must have been either furious that he was used or furious that he was exposed. It's your choice to decide, but he was furious when he arrived in Tel Aviv. And now I'm not going to give away the end.
All right, now this is 2001, 2002.
2002, December 18th.
December 18th, 2002, Wayne Owens, Congressman Wayne Owens, very prominent American congressman from the state of Utah, is certainly involved with this whole scam. He's furious, and the last thing, of course, that the other people involved in this vast conspiracy, and a lot of it involves money from Yasser Arafat and money that's being sent by European countries to Arafat, and the last thing they want is for this thing to come out. So, hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish. There are lots of stories out that Barry has. You get in his books at lulu.com, going into the really the total corruption and depravity of the Israeli government. Now, if I was to talk about that, why people would call me an anti-Semite, it's hard to call Barry Shamish an anti-Semite, because, of course, he loves his country and he loves his people, but he's one of the few people who has the courage to speak out about what's going on there.
God bless America, my home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course we wanted you to actually hear that basically because we want you to be able to get the full story as Barry's going to tell us as he begins to tie together the various parts of the story of the murder of Congressman Wayne Owens. And of course, there's many of these stories go on, but you're never going to hear about them, or if you hear about them, they're one day in the news media and then never mentioned again. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Barry's telling us the story of the strange death of Congressman Wayne Owens back there in December of 2002. But before we go on, Barry, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your latest books and your other books, how they can get your DVDs, how they can contact you if they want to get your DVDs, or if they would like to invite you to come to a talk for them. So go right ahead.
Well, you have my new book, The Compromised Land. But if you want to get the murder of Wayne Owens, you have to get another book called Shabtaitsvi, Labor Zionism and the Holocaust, which I've given you as well. Look at chapter 2 for all the details. To get these books, you go to lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com, and there's a search box. You press books, then you press my name, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. That's Shamish, and again, Shabtaitsvi, Labor Zionism of the Holocaust, has the full story of how Wayne Owens, an American congressman, was murdered in Tel Aviv.
All right, fine.
My website is www.barrychamish.com, of course, barrychamish.com, and to invite me to speak, and I have a DVD on Wayne Owens. It just occurred to me, I recorded it at a Mormon college in Utah, and I will be speaking in Forest Hills, New York this month on the 25th. If you want me to speak, you phone me at 904-315-8079. That's 904-315-8079. And now let's go back to the build-up to the murder.
All right, let's go build-up to the murder.
Now, you have to understand when the Americans, or anyone, but we're talking about America this time, gives money for aid, they don't go with a team and oversee how the money is spent. What they do is they work through NGOs, non-government organizations that supposedly are honest and will spend their money truthfully. And that's where Wayne Owens came into the picture. He got these projects. Well, he managed to use his political influence to get hundreds of millions of dollars sent to the Paris Peace Center. That's what the scam was. Wayne Owens gets USAID to give vast amounts of money, which were, some of the crooked projects were a wastewater plant in Hebron, an industrial park in Tulkarem. All of this money came from USAID. But the big one was signed on the 28th of October. No, I'm sorry. It was signed on the 20th of April. Something else had happened in October we'll talk about. 6 months before Wayne Owens met his death in Tel Aviv, he was the chairman of a brand new institute. Wayne Owens became head of the Middle East Energy and Water Institute, whatever that means. And, well, what that means is he got USAID to funnel him $128 million that would be overseen by the Paris Peace Center. plus another $75 million that would be overseen by whatever Yasser Arafat set up in Gaza, you're talking, well, you're talking $200 million to build a desalinization plant in Ashkelon, which would have a canal to Gaza, $75 million for the canal, to produce 50 million cubic meters of water a year. Now, you have to understand that Israel, in the name of peace, was giving 50 million cubic meters of water from the Kinneret, from the Sea of Galilee, and eventually, maybe even this year, maybe even next month, the Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee, will be useless as a water source. So this water had to be made up, and it was made up through U.S. aid building a desalinization plant in Ashkelon, headed by Wayne Owens, with the money overseen by Shimon Peres. Now, the other names on the board, Daniel Abraham, Sarah Ehrman, head of Peace Now America, it's the usual gang of crooks. Nothing has changed. Now, this money, now, how do you oversee the likes of a Peres and a Wayne Owens? Well, USC had its own controller for the Middle East. His name was Larry Foley. Excuse me. Larry Foley was going to watch who he was gonna watch where the money went. He was USAID's project controller, and he must have seen where the money went very clearly, because on October 28th, I remind you, this was barely a month and a half before Wayne Owens died, was murdered in Tel Aviv. Larry Foley, USAID controller, the man responsible for making sure the money was spent honestly, was assassinated in Amman, Jordan on October 28th of the year 02. They got rid of the guy who knew too much. And by the way, this was not a phony murder. They never found the assassins. They just shut up the guy who was also going to blow the peace mafia. And I don't know, I can't say for sure, but I am sure Wayne Owens knew that he was taken care of. So did Daniel Abraham. So did Shimon Peres. They knocked off a whistleblower. It was running out of control. The mafia was running out of control, and I repeat, because of the Guinnessar scandal, Wayne Owens was going to be he was going to be at the head of the mafia. But again, you have to ask the big question. Was it his idea to become a mega crook? And I can assure you it was Daniel Abraham and Shimon Peres and Stephen Cohen's idea to turn him into a mega crook. But he played ball, and he was guilty of massive embezzlement. Massive. When he arrived, we're now going to the last days of Wayne Owens and why they killed him and how it was done. Now, follow this closely. None of this is simple. If you don't know the subject, it's complicated. But on December 17th, Wayne Owens was in Cairo. And on December 17th, Wayne Owens met two Palestinians, leaders. They were both ministers in Yasser Arafat's government, such as it was. He met with Sari Nusseibeh. He was Arafat's minister for Jerusalem. and he met with Salam Fayyad. He was Arafat's finance minister. Both apparently were incorrupt. Compared to Arafat, they were incredibly incorrupt, but he met with them, and there was a reason for meeting with Nusaba and Fayyad.
Now, who met with him?
Wayne Owens.
Okay, fine. So Wayne Owens is meeting with these two people who are not corrupt, or at least certainly not massively corrupt like everybody else, and what happens?
Well, we don't know how corrupt they were or weren't, but he met them in Cairo before he flew to Israel. And there's only one reason for this meeting between Owens and Nusaba and Fayyad, and that was to overthrow Arafat. And when he arrived in Israel, that's precisely what he was going to try and do. Now, what we are sure about is he arrived in Israel and within 8 hours was dead. I assume that he was poisoned. You can actually make something look like a heart attack just by pumping air into a man's bloodstream. There are ways to produce the effects of a heart attack and leave no foul play evidence behind. Again, the common one is just take a needle full of air and put it in the back of the knee until you cause a heart attack. I assume that it was either that or poison that killed Wayne Owens, and his body was dumped on the boardwalk. And the reason we know that is nobody saw him have the heart attack. And December or not, this was Tel Aviv, and somebody would have seen him have a heart attack. He was killed, I think, after dinner, because his body was found at 9 p.m., and at 6:30 he had dinner with Shimon Peres's director, well, the deputy director of the Shimon Peres Peace Center, amongst other things, Avi Gill. I assume that Gill had a major role in this murder. Now, here is what happened on the day that Wayne Owens was in Israel. On the 18th, while he was there, Nusaba's partner, supposedly in peace, Ibrahim Balauna received an entry permit to meet Wayne Owens. It was given to him by the IDF, by the army.
Now, who is this fellow who's going to meet with Owens?
Sorry, Nusaba's partner.
All right, fine.
Do I have to go back and say
go ahead.
Sorry, Nusaba, right. And Salam Fayyad in Cairo the day
right.
before.
Okay, fine. So he is given permission then to meet with Owens again in Jerusalem, right?
Yep, he sure did. What happened was that Owens was going to throw the crooks out. He was going to shut down his peace center. He was going to cut off the money. He was going to open his mouth. Whatever. He had the knowledge to shut down Peres and the whole gang. He had the evidence. Owens was a very dangerous character to the crooks. He was either used or he was himself a promoter of all these thefts. He was either used or was the promoter for the death of Foley, the U.S. Larry Foley, the USA controller, who oversaw his new desalinization plant in Ashkelon, run by his new group, the Middle East Energy and Water Institute. He was a very dangerous guy.
Why was Wayne Owen going to do the right thing? Why was he going to blow the whistle on this? Why was he going to try to overthrow Arafat when, I mean, he was making lots of money on this. He had to be.
He was exposed. Look, again, we go back to the genocide scandal and start from the beginning again, if you want. His business partner was the partner of Yossi Ginnasar. He was the CEO of the phony straw companies. Owens was exposed.
Okay, fine. So he was exposed, and so he was going to blow the whistle. Is that it?
He was protecting whatever reputation he had left. He was going to go down fighting for good. One way or another, he was going to put an end to this mafia running out of control. Murder had taken over the mafia. Just recall, I don't know how much Paris siphoned off this desalinization plant for himself. I assume it would have been in the tens of millions of dollars. Through Owens, who sponsored it. Maybe I'm not making myself clearer.
No, you're making yourself clear. Go ahead, Barry.
Owens was going to meet with Sari Nusseibeh's partner on the 18th. As soon as he was dead, the IDF canceled the entry permit and had him arrested. Literally, an hour after Owens was found dead, Nusseibeh's partner was under arrest by the IDF. The next day, on the 19th, Sari Nusseibeh, the minister for Jerusalem, is dropped by Yasser Arafat from his government and fired. That leaves only Salam Fayyad, the finance minister. Arafat leaves him in power. The coup is now finished. Nusseibeh is gone. Balawna does not meet with Wayne Owens. The coup d'etat is finished. Wayne Owens is dead. There's nothing Nusseibeh, there's nothing Salam Fayyad can do anymore. They killed off Wayne Owens. Now, I know it's a complicated subject, but are you following this?
Yes, pretty well. You did a good job on it. It's a complicated, and there are a lot of names there, but I can follow it. I hope our listeners can.
Right, I hear music.
You go right ahead. I'll tell you when to stop.
All right, I'm going to recap again, just to keep people informed. Wayne Owens had a peace center in Washington. His co-chairman was Daniel Abraham. Wayne Owens flew on Daniel Abraham's plane to Tel Aviv. His business development partner was Stephen Cohen. Stephen Cohen was used as the CEO of the straw companies for Yasser Arafat's phony bank account in Switzerland set up by Yossi Ginnasar. That's the setup. Does that help?
Right. I've got it pretty well. I hope our listeners do as well. We'll be back in just a moment here. Our guest has been Barry Simons. All right, Barry, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Strange wife, and he had all the goods that could have put Bill and Hillary Clinton behind bars. But Jim McDougal was being held in prison until he finally said, I will testify, I'll tell you the truth about Bill Clinton. So what did they do? Did they take him out of prison and put him in protective custody? No, they didn't. They left him in prison. He was put into solitary confinement. He was diabetic. He had no, took his medicines away from him, and he died a few days later under very mysterious circumstances. Jim McDougal's wife refused to testify against Bill Clinton, as, of course, her husband was willing to testify. Susan McDougal wasn't willing to testify, and, of course, she ended up getting a pardon and lived happily ever after. This is the way the world really works. Most people do not know that since Bill and Hillary left office, they have a foundation that has received $492 million in contributions. That's almost half $1 billion, $492 million in contributions. I wonder why people all throughout the world are giving money to Bill Clinton. Is it because he's such a paragon of virtue and integrity? Or is this, of course, in return for services rendered? He, not only that, but he and Hillary made $110 million in 8 years. That's over $10 million a year. He gets a big book payoff. He got far more for his book in advance than the Pope did. Pope has $1,250,000,000 followers, and Bill Clinton, well, he's got a lot of corrupt people supporting him. He got $10 billion in advance for his book. The Pope only got $8 billion. So you know who's really important in the world. Unfortunately, we live in a corrupt and fallen world, and you must understand that. There are powerful spiritual forces at work. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, let me suggest you get it. You get our talk on the forbidden secret. You get our talk on the financial Armageddon and the syllabus that goes with that. And you begin to realize that this whole current financial crisis has been contrived to bring down the economy of the world, to affect every nation in the world, and those that won't be affected, we will attack under one guise or another, and that's why we're fighting over there in Pakistan, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and Sydney, Afghanistan, because these countries don't want to go along with the two-world order, the one-world government. But any nation that stands in the way will be destroyed, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, we're dealing with organized evil that for 5,000 years has been trying to establish a one-world government. And you and I are living at the most exciting time because this is when it's coming to fruition. And certainly the meeting of the G20 they had about 2 months ago over in, I think it was in London, was all about establishing this new international economic order. and of course replacing the Fed as the financial center with the International Monetary Fund. We're going to give the International Monetary Fund $100 billion to help finance their efforts to take over control. Where's the $100 billion coming from? We don't have it. We're running the greatest deficits any nation has ever run. We're going to be running almost, well, $1.8 trillion deficit for the year ending in September, and then next year probably $2.5 trillion deficit. And this is all designed to destroy the value of our currency, to bring down the whole world financial system as the dollar ceases to be the reserve currency of the world, and those dollars come home with a vengeance, and of course bring all the inflation that we've been exporting back home here and destroy our economy and destroy the life savings of our people and plunge them into poverty. They know what they're doing. The talk, financial Armageddon, and of course we tell you there, the true story of who is really behind Bill Clinton. So, again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, I should say, who is really behind Barack Obama and the mysterious force that put him in office. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty.